The Obama administration said yesterday that it had met its goal of improving the online health insurance marketplace for the vast majority of users, but acknowledged it still has extensive work to do. The troubled rollout has damaged the president's credibility. Polls are showing that a majority of Americans view him as untrustworthy. According to a recent CBS News poll, only 49% of Americans say President Obama is honest and trustworthy. During last fall's presidential campaign, that number was at 60%. The Gallup poll puts the president's job approval rating at 41%. And when compared to recent two-term presidents, Barack Obama's approval rating is similar to that of George W. Bush at this point in his presidency. Bush's was 38%. Bill Clinton's was at 60%. And Ronald Reagan's 64%. Joining us now for a discussion of what the troubled rollout of the Affordable Care Act's online marketplace means for President Obama is Chad Neuswander. He's an assistant professor of political science at the University of South Dakota, and his research includes public administration and power and politics. And Chad, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
It's great to be here.
What do you think has hurt the president more, the troubled rollout of the insurance exchange itself or his repeated statement, if you like what you have, you can keep it, a statement that now has turned out to be false?
Well, I think the troubled rollout is a significant factor because when Obama ran during his first term, what he wanted to be was a new kind of liberal. So instead of kind of articulating the politics of the old of, you know, trying to find the path that Bill Clinton took where he tried to combine some Republican and Democratic ideas and, you know, this notion of triangulation, kind of Obama pushed back against that notion of where the Democratic Party should go and wanted to craft a new vision of what the party could look like. And what he decided to do was actually instead of kind of reinventing the Democratic Party, he went with the politics of the old. In particular, he very much fit into the mold of FDR and LBJ. And the best way he was able to do this was passing the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, which was basically the first new and massive entitlement program in decades. And very much this is what the Democratic Party wanted. But one of the raps against this old-style liberalism was whether government programs could be effectively and efficiently run. And that's where Obama is really being heavily attacked upon, is that once you create these massive departments and government programs, what we see is what we're kind of seeing with Obamacare is that the rollout tends to be very slow, tends to be very ineffective, tends not to be responsive, and very much instead of kind of appearing like FDR, LBJ, what Obama is beginning to look like is more like Jimmy Carter. And that's not a very good comparison that you really want to have, and you can really see this with his poll numbers.
Is part of the problem with the Affordable Care Act and the rollout of the insurance exchange part of it that this was designed to be that the states would run so much of it? Is this part of the problem now? Is that now the federal government is taking over so much of this that this is just beyond the capacity that they originally thought of?
Well, that's one of the problems when you create these massive government programs is oftentimes the federal government cannot do it alone. They must kind of disperse the responsibilities to the states and to private insurers. In the case with Obamacare, is very much relying on private insurance companies to aid. But what's really problematic for the Obama administration is it's their website. They're not relying upon – they are still relying upon contractors, but it's still – they own this website. And by owning the website in such a direct manner – by detecting its flaws and its inefficiencies, before this new update, it took 8 seconds oftentimes to load one page. 8 seconds is the internet in 2001, 10 years ago. So very much it kind of reinforces a particular narrative about liberalism as a whole in the sense that you cannot necessarily rely upon government to do these massive programs and do it in a way that's cost effective.
So what needs to be done over the – particularly as we look over the next few weeks as we're getting towards deadlines, if you know, in one scenario things are working out very well and the administration said, things are working out pretty well, or if it's maybe not working out as well as they're saying it is?
Well, this is one of the problems that Obama's also encountering is in the sense that when he ran originally, he very much attacked the Bush administration on being an imperial president, which basically means he tries to combine the powers of the legislative and executive branches. And he really wanted to push this idea of governing with partners, working with Congress in order to pass his agenda and implement the law. But what he's seeing with the Affordable Care Act, he's very much acting like President Bush did, is that he's going it alone, that he's revising Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, without congressional approval, which a lot of people is declaring as unconstitutional, that he is kind of superseding the legislative domain with Article 1, and he did this with a kind of an employer mandate. And there's the question of, is he going to have to do this with other areas of the law, where he's going to have to revoke a congressionally passed law through executive fiat? And it appears that he might have to do this if we continue to see massive inefficiencies within the website.
So how does this now affect the president's ability to work with Congress, particularly the Democrats who were so closely affiliated with this, who were behind this?
Yeah, that's one of the big issues. What is really interesting, because he lost the Republicans during the first couple of months in his first term, but he's been able to maintain some degree of support with the Democratic House and Senate. But you're beginning to see dissensions within the ranks that the Democratic Party is starting to lose faith in this president. And we very much saw this during Bush's second term, where Republicans basically ran away en masse with the Bush administration. It'll be interesting to see if we see that happen over the next year or two. What will really be a big indicator is how the midterm elections go for the Democrats, to see whether Obama's going to have any support for his last 2 years.
Well, that's the curious thing here now, is what the Democrats that are up for, the senators that are up for re-election, and the congressmen, of course, all up for re-election, how closely they will stand by the president. Or, as you said, you think they're going to all just wash their hands of this and say, oh.
Yeah, I think very much you're going to see, for the most part, Democrats who are very much in moderate or even in red states are going to start turning their backs on the president. I don't see very much loyalty because, again, Obama's not going to run again. He's not going to be able to provide them much political capital anymore. And it was very much what we saw with Al Gore and Bill Clinton when Clinton was leaving the office. I mean, Al Gore basically turned his back on Bill and basically tried to go it alone. And I think you'll see a lot of Democrats take that approach.
Going back to, I'd mentioned the president's repeated statement, if you like what you have, you can keep it. How that has damaged his credibility. If it had just been that the rollout didn't work, if that would have been, if his credibility and trustworthiness would have been damaged as much as it has, it, but how much is that statement causing him problems?
Yeah, on one level, is we're dealing with government inefficiencies, and very much people expect government bureaucracies, even though it's probably too much of a stereotype and usually wrong, to be ineffective and inefficient. Well, people might expect that, but they don't necessarily expect the president to go back on his word. And this is very reminiscent of George H.W. Bush with kind of the famous lines, read my lips, no new taxes. Well, we're seeing that here with Obama, and Obama saying this over and over again about how you'll be able to keep your insurance plan. And that's not true. And not only is it not true, is that people are having to pay more money, or some people are having to pay more money for their insurance plans. Others, not, maybe not, but you're seeing a lot of reports, anecdotal evidence coming out to the sizable increases in their insurance premiums.
Now, looking ahead to other things that are going on, for example, the budget negotiations, how will this affect how those things come together? It seems like nobody wants another government shutdown, and the Congress is, from what I understand, even more unpopular than the president. How does all this balance out as things continue with the relationship between the two houses, the two parties, with the president and Congress?
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, especially in the first quarter of next year and even into the second quarter, is that we know the Republicans are going to push back, and they might even be emboldened because of this fallout fiasco to maybe even push a little bit harder. But really, it will be interesting to see how the Democrats in the Senate handle this, because we know that the Republicans in the House are going to be very staunch, going to really push back and to bargain very hard. But the Senate has usually kind of been the moderating force here. And if Obama starts to lose support in the Senate, is he going to have to be forced to basically provide more concessions than he wants to? So it could have ramifications, but right now it's too early to tell.
What about as far as foreign policy goes? There's the agreement with Iran over the nuclear agreement, and now there's some Republicans and Democrats want to pass a sanctions bill. Does the White House have any power in stopping that? Is all this intertwined.
It is intertwined to a certain extent, but the executive usually has a pretty powerful domain in the international space that he really doesn't have in the domestic sphere. And you saw this with the second term with Bush, is that even though Congress maybe wanted him to stop pursuing particular policies in Iraq and Afghanistan, Bush had a lot of authority there to really push his agenda. And I think Obama, for the most part, will be given somewhat of a free rein, still have a considerable power to deal with Iran on his own terms, even though you might see pushback from both the House and Senate, in particular because of the sensitivity of the issues where you have both the Israelis and Saudi Arabia really not wanting us to really develop these strong ties, not strong ties, but work this with this mutual agreement with Iran. So you have a little bit more of conflicting forces here, which will be interesting to see how that plays out.
And how does that, for the public perception, given the falling poll numbers for the president, when they see something like this, a very controversial agreement, are they less likely to say, okay, I think the president knows what he's doing?
Well, I do think they give some credence to presidential authority in this particular domain, in the sense that we want to curtail Iran's nuclear ambitions. But also there's that strong support within the United States of Israel. And it's this competing conflict where normally an agreement like this would give the president a huge bump in approval ratings. But in this case, it's a mixed bag in the sense that there might be a particular right way to approach things, but that might not be necessarily popular with the American people as a whole. And so in this sense, the president really has an obligation or even a responsibility to really act like a statesman, where he can really push back against public opinion if he feels this is the best agreement that we can get with Iran to curtail their nuclear ambitions.
I've heard this described, at least by some commentators, as maybe not equivalent to Nixon going to China. But do you think this agreement reaches that sort of level in foreign policy?
I don't think it reaches Nixon's. I mean, Nixon's arrival to China, it was a watershed moment. And this is a significant step, but it's only a very minor step. And there still has a lot of negotiations and agreements that still have to really come in. We're going to have to see if Iran is actually going to fulfill their obligations that they've agreed to, which is right now it's dubious of whether they'll actually follow through. So this is a small step. But if he can continue to make strides, this can be a significant event. It's not nearing what Nixon was able to do with China, basically ushering in a new world power. But it is significant.
This is President Obama's second term. Historically, second terms difficult for presidents?
They're notoriously difficult because they're out of office. So they lose a lot of their political power in providing cover and benefits to members of the House and Senate. So what you see with a lot of presidents in their second term is shift towards the international domain. And we saw this with Clinton. We saw this with Bush. And now we're kind of seeing this with Obama. But Obama is not going to be able to make such a significant pivot because of the problems he has here at home with the Affordable Care Act, with immigration still being on the table, and with, you know, an impending maybe government shutdown and the debt crisis. And so Obama is still going to be immersed with domestic problems.
So the second term doesn't free the president in any way, since he doesn't have to be reelected, so he doesn't have that responsibility. But then you're saying there's other problems that he has to deal with.
I mean, the popular perception is that the president is given more of an open hand because the Democratic pressures are not as nearly as strong. But at the same time, at least domestically, he still has to work with the House and Senate. And so he still has to take that into consideration. And because a lot of his agenda is domestic, he's not completely free as, let's say, Clinton was or Bush was in their second terms.
And what do the next couple of years of the Obama presidency mean for perhaps 2016 presidential elections, particularly for Democrats?
I think with Obama's falling popularity, is what you're seeing is basically what he's done through botching, you know, the rollout is basically create an even playing field, that the Democrats are not going to have a significant advantage in 2016, that the Republicans are going to be able to provide a challenger. a legitimate challenger, whoever that's going to be. And so very much it kind of resets the board, I think, in terms of the possibility of who will be the next president.
What's interesting is just, a month or two ago, the government shut down. It seemed like the Republicans, they'd lost everything and everything was in the Democrats' favor. And now everything is turned back around again. Are things happening just more quickly, these changes?
No, in a sense, that's what's so fascinating about politics is 1 month, you know, seems like the president is going to have a solid second term, and the next month it seems like his presidency is already over. And very much things can turn quickly depending on what the opposition does. And in many ways, if the Republicans would have been a little bit more strategically minded in terms of how to handle the government shutdown, they'd be in a much better position than they are now. But they just look as equally, if not as bad as Obama in terms of how to govern. And that's a significant issue that both parties encounter now is very much the Republicans have had this bad rap is that they don't want to govern, they don't know how to govern, and they're unwilling to govern. While the president might want to govern, but he does so in an ineffective and inefficient manner. And that creates a general perception problem for both of the parties right now.
So, you know, back and forth over the next few months, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's really all up in the air. And then, of course, you have Iran, as we talked about, looming in the background of how that's going to shake things up a little bit also.
What do you think it'll take for the president to regain his credibility? Can presidents regain the credibility and approval and the trustworthiness?
They can, but it's going to be very difficult for Obama to do so. I mean, almost even a year ago, people had already were predicting that Obama's presidency was over, and that was just a year out. And so it doesn't look good in terms of kind of the rest of his term in terms of his ability to do what he wants to do. He's very much, I think, handcuffed by the circumstances that he finds himself in. Some of that is by his own doing. He's created these circumstances and other situations such as forces that are pushed upon him.